Hello there. My name is Ava, and tonight I'd like to take you on a little adventure to a most unlikely place. When we travel, we often don't spend enough time simply enjoying our hotel rooms. But it might actually be the most magical place there is. A place of rest and play. A place that's safe for us to be ourselves and do whatever we can dream up. For tonight's sleep story, that place is exactly where we'll be heading. So cozy up and settle in as we set off on a trip to the Magic Hotel. The rain fell from the afternoon sky, like it might never end. Pitter-patter it went, splashing on red rooftops, dripping onto glossy green leaves, and washing over cobblestone lanes. Not a single person strolled on the sidewalks, and the shutters were closed tightly against the rain. A young boy called Sam sat in his hotel room, his nose pressed to the window, watching the cloudy skies. He and his sister Annie had been stuck inside all day, unable to go to the wildlife sanctuary like they'd planned. At this rate, I'll never get to see a giraffe, or a bear, or a fox, grumbled Sam. Oh, what I would give to see a fox up close. He looked to his sister for agreement. She sat at an antique desk in the light of a brass lamp, writing with a pen in a notepad, both gifts from the hotel. She signed her name over and over again, down the page, with a little heart over the I and a curling capital A shaped like a mermaid's tail. Well, staring at the rain won't make it go away, she replied. Sam and Annie found themselves without a thing to do. They had spent all morning flipping through a book about fantastical creatures, but they'd read it so many times they could recite every page by heart. They had tidied the entire hotel room and picked up all their clothes, even folding them neatly in the drawers. You see, Mum and Dad had made a very important rule for this vacation. No devices allowed. No phones, no laptops, not even the TV remote control. Talk to each other, they had instructed. Use your imaginations. Annie and Sam knew that Mum would be away all afternoon at her business meetings, but they hoped their dad would have a few ideas about how they might pass the time. Let's see if Dad will take us to explore the hotel, Annie suggested. So they went through the door that connected their room to their parents' room. But lo and behold, Dad was slumped down in a big comfy chair, with a book open on his chest, snoring quite soundly. It's a wonder he doesn't wake himself up, said Sam. The brother and sister looked at each other, realizing they were on their own. Dad never liked to be disturbed when he was reading, or when he was sleeping, or for that matter when he was doing both. So they shuffled back to their room, determined to find something they could do for fun. The hotel was an old castle that had been converted into a modern luxury. The whole building was still filled with nooks and crannies from long ago, and the hotel suite certainly was a lovely place. Every detail was fine and prim. Every surface was soft and trim. There were gleaming chandeliers hanging from carved medallions on the ceiling. The wallpaper was painted with vines and flowers that seemed to crawl around the room like a forest. The dressers and chairs sat on curved wooden legs, marked with painted scrolls. And the walk-in closet was big enough for a couple of kids to make their own world. Sam opened up every single drawer, searching for things past guests may have left behind. But they were so spotless, all he could find was a map of the hotel. He studied the floor plan, tracing his finger along the halls, the sprawling lobby, and the grand ballroom that was fit for a king. He opened up the closet and found two sets of bathrobes and two sets of cloth slippers. There was also a cloth bag for laundry and a brush to clean your shoes. Spotting a chance for some fun, Sam put on one of the bathrobes, which was much too large for him, so large that the sleeves dragged on the floor and trailed behind him as he walked. He looked so silly that Annie joined in the fun, climbing into her big plush robe and slipping on her slippers too. She took the ice bucket from the desk and turned it over, placing it on her head like a tall hat. And Sam did the same with the laundry bag. "We look like royals," Sam said. "Yes," Annie agreed. "We are the prince and princess of the hotel. We only need a castle for our kingdom." They set out to build a castle in the big closet. They brought over all the fluffy pillows and stacked them on the floor. They pulled the billowing bedspread off the bed and hung it over the ironing board that folded down from the wall. And they brought in all the little items they'd collected around the hotel room. With the palace complete, Annie began to tell a story. "Hear ye, hear ye," she proclaimed, waving her pen in the air like a wand. "I declare this place the Magic Hotel. We reign over these peaceful lands as prince and princess, while the king and queen are away." Sam gave a triumphant nod, very happy to be a prince after all. They continued to build the castle in the closet, piling up pillows and draping the blankets just so, until they were snug and comfy in their own little world. But when Sam arrived at the innermost corner of the closet, he hit upon something unexpected. "What's this?" he wondered, as he pulled out a key from under the carpet. But it was no ordinary key, like the small metal key for a front door, or even a magnetic key that looks like a plastic card. No, this key was simply beautiful. It looked like one of those antique brass keys, with a long stem and a scrolled handle, and it shined like gold, even in the dim light. "Wow," said Sam, his eyes open wide. "I wonder what it's for." "There's only one thing it could open," said Annie. A strong black safe was mounted to the wall inside the closet. The safe in their mum and dad's room opened with a code, and they stored important things inside, like passports and valuables. But Sam and Annie's safe didn't have a keypad at all. Instead, it had a keyhole. And this must be its key. Annie took the key and slid it straight into the lock. And with a gentle click, the safe sprang open. Delighted by this stroke of luck, the children peered inside the small safe. And suddenly, a curious animal emerged before them, with a pointed black nose, long gray whiskers, and a pair of white paws. It was an adorable little fox. He had rusty red fur, white-tipped ears, and a fluffy tail. But this was no ordinary fox. He wore round spectacles perched on his nose, a bow tie, and a little plaid waistcoat too. "Good afternoon, Princess Annie and Prince Sam," he announced in a dignified voice. "I am Sherard, the hotel's receptionist. Come along now. We've been expecting you for some time. Sam and Annie were astonished. How did this fox get in their safe? How did he know their names? And who taught him to tie a bow tie? Good evening, Gerard, they replied, remembering their manners. Please follow me, your highnesses, Gerard insisted. Everyone is waiting for you at the ball. Gerard turned and ducked back into the safe, and a light from inside started to glow, bright like sunshine. Annie and Sam gave each other a curious look and followed Gerard right inside. The safe began to grow larger, expanding across the wall, like it was opening up for them to fit inside. And with a few steps forward, Annie and Sam stepped into the safe and entered what seemed to be the closet of their hotel room again. Everything looked the same, but also different. There was a glittery sheen to the floor, almost like light sparkling on the water. They opened the closet doors and walked into what looked like their own suite. And there, they were met with a marvelous sight. The vines and flowers on the walls seemed not to be painted on paper, but were real plants that swayed gently in the breeze. The chandelier no longer hung from a chain, but floated in the air. And outside the windows, it wasn't raining, but looked like all the colors of the rainbow. Sam and Annie didn't have much time to be surprised, because Gerard brought out a notebook and started checking off a list. Please do get ready for the ball. We're already behind schedule, he said, before he scampered out the door. And when Sam looked at Annie, he couldn't quite believe his eyes. Look at you, he said. The ice bucket on Annie's head had become a glorious golden crown, with many dazzling jewels all around. And instead of a pen, she was now holding a golden wand with sparkling fairy dust that trailed behind as it waved. And look at you, Annie said, because the shoe brush that Sam had been holding was now a long scepter set with gemstones, and the laundry bag on his head was now a cushion crown. Their bathrobes had become long capes of red velvet, lined with white trim, and the cloth slippers on their feet were now golden boots. And before they could say another word, a brush and comb floated toward them. They lifted up their crowns, and the brush and comb began to groom their hair into magnificent styles. And when they were finished, Sam and Annie put on their crowns and looked into the silvery mirror, which hovered in the air like a mirage. Indeed, they saw before them the royal prince and princess of a magical land. Where on earth could we be? Asked Sam. Your guess is as good as mine, replied Annie. But both children laughed with delight, because they knew this was a very special adventure that they would not likely have again. Now, how in the world do we get to this ball? Wondered Sam. And as if the room could understand him, two beautiful chairs lined with purple fabric simply stood up on their curved legs and started walking toward them. The chairs scooped them up and floated through the air like little thrones. The room door opened on its own, and there once again was Gerard the fox, twitching his whiskers and checking off items in his notebook. As Annie was very grateful for all the help from the room, she curtsied very politely as a Princess Wood. Thank you so very much, she said. Gerard bid them to follow, and the chairs drifted out the door like they were dancing on air, following the fox down the long hallway. The children looked down, and instead of carpet, the hallway was lined with real grass, with little patches of daisies and wildflowers. The walls appeared to be made by tree trunks, with doors that seemed to lead to guest rooms, each with a number on the front. And when they looked up, they saw that there were no electric lights, but the ceiling swirled with a galaxy of stars and planets that lit their way. Annie and Sam were speechless with wonder. As Sam and Annie floated past, one by one, the doors in the tree trunks opened up. The first door produced several tiny people with long, wide beards who tipped their little pointed hats in salute as the children moved by. They appeared to be elves, but they couldn't be, since elves didn't exist. But neither did talking foxes or flying chairs. So perhaps there were elves after all. When Annie peeked inside their room, she saw that it was a winter wonderland filled with snow that smelled like peppermint. Sam caught a glimpse into another room, this one filled with fairies who curtsied at him and flitted away with their transparent wings and flowing hair made of starlight. The fairies' room looked like a tiny forest with little spotted mushroom caps and enormous flowers as tall as a person. The sound of harp music wafted out on a breeze that smelled like briar roses. These fantastic creatures trailed in a line behind Annie and Sam as they floated toward the end of the hall, where there was an elevator that seemed more like a rainbow than an elevator. Gerard gestured for the children to climb off their chairs and get inside, while the other guests waited for the next car. The bell chimed, and Annie and Sam were greeted by the elevator operator, a very polite giraffe in a burgundy uniform with big brass buttons and gold trim. "Lobby, please," Gerard instructed. The giraffe punched a button made from an acorn, and swoosh, off they went in a magical elevator that moved not only up and down, but side to side. The colors of the elevator changed from gold to pink to blue to purple, and when it changed to gold again, the bell chimed and the elevator glided to a stop. When the rainbow doors opened, Annie looked down a hallway, which must have been made of water, because it seemed very blurry, with seaweed waving up from the sandy bottom, and glowing starfish lighting the corridor with the cool glow of the deep sea. Just then, two big bubbles of water flowed into the elevator, and inside each bubble was an incredible mermaid. Their powerful tails were made of glittering scales that sparkled with every movement. One had a tail with every shade of blue, from turquoise to navy to sapphire, and the other had a tail with shades of lavender and purple, which looked like flowers blooming. The mermaids nodded graciously at the children. And again, the rainbow elevator moved on its way until it chimed again and the elevator stopped. Annie thanked the giraffe with an appreciative bow. And when the golden doors slid open, Annie and Sam stepped out into the hotel lobby. It looked very much like the lobby of their own hotel, but also quite different. everything seemed to glow with a magical light, soft like moonlight, but also bright like the sun. Gerard the Fox led Sam and Annie over to the reception desk, where several golden monkeys with little round hats asked for their invitation for the ball. Luckily, the hotel notepad Annie had been carrying had transformed into a beautiful invitation. She handed it to the monkey and said, "Much obliged, sir." Gerard led Annie and Sam over to sit in the lobby while their arrival was announced. They walked across the floor made of curling ivy vines, and they sat down in chairs made of tropical flowers with velvety orange petals and big puffs of yellow pollen in the middle. Two serious-looking penguins arrived with cups of hot chocolate for Annie and Sam to enjoy while they admired their surroundings. All sorts of hotel staff were hard at work. First, a pair of majestic peacocks greeted Sam and Annie, welcoming them by fanning out their splendid, colorful tails. And then, who arrived in the lobby but a grand elephant, who appeared to be a bellhop dressed in a dinner jacket. He lumbered past them, carrying suitcases on his broad back, with smaller bags hung on his great trunk. A brilliant blue bird with the softest wings in the world placed a tulip in Annie's hair and one in Sam's lapel. And a trio of little bunnies dressed as maids hopped about, wiggling their tails to clean the dust from the tables and chairs. The children watched the guests coming into the hotel, and they were simply otherworldly. A family of genies emerged from a lamp with puffy pants and golden bracelets. A troop of pixies twinkled past with little green dresses and violets in their hair, leaving a trail of fairy dust along their path. And Sam took Annie by the arm when he saw two majestic glowing unicorns, their golden horns gleaming as their glittering hooves pawed the ground and their silvery manes shifted like wind upon the air. Each guest nodded to Annie and Sam as they passed, and the children nodded graciously in return. Gerard invited them to follow him again, and they were escorted into the ballroom by a proud lion with a luxurious mane which flowed like strands of golden silk. And inside the ballroom, they saw that all the magical guests were already gathered, everyone waiting patiently for their arrival. Gerard and the lion guided them to a throne made from a massive pearl, and all the guests gathered around. But Annie and Sam weren't sure what exactly they were supposed to do. They looked to Gerard for a hint, and he whispered to them that the guests were waiting for instructions. They had all gathered here in the Magic Hotel for the prince and princess to tell them what they should do tonight at the ball. Should they dance around the ballroom in circles? Should they sing their favorite songs? Or should they sit and tell stories about their adventures? For it was a child's imagination that had created them, and a child's imagination that would lead them on their next step. Well, Sam and Annie were quite speechless. They had no idea if they were ready for such an important responsibility. They looked at each guest, who gazed back at them with wonder, as if the two kids were astonishing creatures themselves. Each creature was magical, yet remarkable in its own way. Their favorite mermaids, elves, and unicorns, the gleaming eyes of little gnomes, who lived underground in mushroom homes. The sparkling stares of the water nymphs, who floated like seaflowers upon the waves. And the ruby eyes of the glorious phoenix, a bird made of flames that danced through the air, leaving a trail of embers wafting like flecks of gold. The radiant queen of roses, in a crimson gown, stepped forward with her courtiers, the lilies of the valley, whose dresses made of ivory petals jingled like bells upon emerald stems. The queen blossomed before Annie and Sam, and a sweet fragrance enveloped them like a dream. And with that sign, Annie and Sam knew what they should do. They stood up and gave thanks to their delightful guests, but they could not instruct the guests about how to have fun. They each had their own likes and dislikes and wants and wishes, and they were free to do as they pleased. All they had to do was look within their imaginations to find it. So Sam brought out the final hotel item they had brought with them, the map of the magic hotel. And as he tossed the map into the air, it scattered into 100 pieces and floated down like snowflakes to each fairy tale creature, so that each one had a map for themselves. The ballroom resounded with the echoes of cheers, the clapping of hooves, and the flapping of wings. And every map began to fill in like watercolors, splashed across parchment, with each map making its own path and its own story that followed the wishes of each magical creature. And with that, the guests went on their own merry ways. Some pranced across the floor, some twirled through the air, and others simply stood where they were and shined very brightly. With their hearts full of pride, Sam and Annie saw that their new friends had each found their own fun, just as they had found theirs on this rainy day. But now, it was about time for them to get back to their own room. So they followed Gerard the fox as he scampered on his little white paws back into the rainbow elevator. He led them back to the grassy hallway and back to their magic hotel room. They arrived at the enchanted closet, which held the secret doorway back to the real world. Before Annie crawled into the safe, she turned to Gerard and handed him the secret key. But Gerard pressed the key back into her palm, telling her that she and Sam were welcome back to the land of their imagination anytime they wanted. And just as Annie and Sam were enveloped by the comforting light, they were back in their own hotel closet again, sitting on fluffy pillows, with the bedspread hung on the ironing board. The safe was locked up tight, just as before. Annie opened her hand, and the key had disappeared, only to be found the next time they were ready to unlock their imaginations. Now, at the end of their journey, they both took a deep breath, still in awe of the adventure they'd had. Their mother had returned from her day at work, and she promised they would go outside tomorrow when the rain had stopped. But Annie and Sam simply smiled and nodded, knowing they had a more magical day than they could ever have outside. They snuggled down into the pillows and blankets, cozy and warm in their big bathrobes, safe in their castle, in the magic hotel. They thought of all the curious things they had seen, and all the joy they had brought to their newfound friends. They wondered what they would do tomorrow, whether outside in the real world or inside the infinite world of their own imagination. And with visions of rainbows and butterflies and waltzing flowers, they fell asleep, welcomed by their glittering dreams.